A gaggle of gays gagging on gossip, love, sex advice, and your questions. Produced and recorded in New York City, this is Ask the Boys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ask the Boys, a roundtable show where we answer your Q's so you can play with your A's. A show where we give it to you straight-ish with no chaser. Call into our show with your questions or comments. Our show number is 424-327-5282. That's 4243-ASK-ATB. In the ninth episode of our show, we discuss BDSM, bondage, domination, submission, and masochism. Pig sex. Is it taboo or becoming more mainstream? What would you do if the ghost of Christmas past came back to haunt you? What do you get when you mix Craigslist ads with classical music? Tonight, you'll find out. Finally, we top off the show with Christian Baker's Big Gay Cakes and Your Calls. I'm Justin. Tonight, I ate a whole box of Cheez-Its.
I'm Jordan, and I like to have sex with Pokemon cards.
And I'm Anthony. The supermoon you saw in the sky was my ass.
All right, boys. So I have this story for you. All right. Actually, how was your week? How was everyone's week so far?
This is actually pretty good and relaxing. I hit up a few doctors. I had a lot of doctor's appointments. But
why are you going to the doctor so much? Do you have something to say? Are you pregnant?
It's like asking a race car driver what did he do when he went to the auto shop.
I just want to say, because I just got outed, I was going to save it for the holidays to surprise everyone and wait a little bit because I don't want to take the focus away from Christmas. But yeah, I'm expecting.
is it mine?
Wins?
Yeah, triplets. But yes, yes it is.
Oh, I should be a daddy.
Yeah. No, I've just been doing routine checkups, talking to my doctor, making sure everything's okay, trying to get on prep and get everything ready to
you're right out there. You're not on prep yet.
Mm-mm.
I'm thinking about doing it too.
Yeah, I had a good conversation with my doctor. First off, I'm in love. He's so hot. Second off, he's really smart and very informative, and he was just bringing up some really good points. You better safe than sorry, and always good to have a backup plan always, regardless.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Justin?
I literally worked. So I'm out of this conversation. Everyone's having a great time. So I was busy. I was making some cash.
Well, are you guys brunchers at all?
I am a bruncher.
I want to be. I would love to start.
We should go on a brunch sometime. I think it'd be really fun.
We should do a live drunk brunch show.
Ooh. Yeah. Definitely bottomless.
Definitely.
I'm bottomless now.
Bowl. So I went to brunch on Sunday. It's typically like my day off for some reason, so I usually go out for brunch on Sundays. And I went in Soho for brunch. I'm not sure if anyone's heard of it, but it's called Carol Place. It's like a really nice low-key place. It's cheap. It's the cheapest brunch I've ever been to in New York. It's $25 for like unlimited and an entree. You cannot beat that. So after brunch, we went out and explored Soho. And to bring it kind of back to before when I was saying I have a story for you, there's a thing out there called the New York City weed van. Have any of you heard of this before?
Yes. I've seen it during Gay Pride, I grabbed an edible from it, but I haven't actually interacted much or seen it much after that.
Okay.
I saw it during Pride as well, and I just thought it was literally like a food truck that was just trying to be creative. I didn't know it was like an actual thing.
Yes. Yes. So apparently they stand outside soliciting in front of this green-ass fucking Honda Accord van or whatever, and they try to get you to come in and apparently partake in said activities that resemble the color of the van. And I was with my other like stoner friend at the time, and we were like, yeah, let's do it. Why not? We paid like $15 and we sat inside these vans and we just vaped for about like 10 minutes or so. It was pretty interesting, to say the least.
Huh.
So it's Uber for marijuana.
Exactly.
That was exciting. And so like, it was unlimited vapes the whole time that you were there for that amount?
Yeah, sort of. So it was, there were two gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Oh, it always starts with there was two men.
Oh, my.
And they were with us. So it was me and Richard. Richard's boyfriend at the time was, well, not at the time, they're still together, but he was outside because he doesn't really do it. So it was me and him and these two men, and we were just going around puffing on this vape. And they were talking to us about what we do for work and like where we go out in the city and like what brought us into Soho. And it was just pretty casual conversation with random ass strangers in this van smoking weed on Broadway in Soho. So
let's just admire this, because growing up, our parents always said, never talk to strangers. And if a stranger says, help me find my puppy, or do you want free candy, never get in their van. You literally broke every single fucking rule that our parents had ever told us. And you profited. You're not dead. You're not in somebody's living room with a lampshade. You are alive to tell the tale.
That's pretty... The irony there is pretty real. I mean,
it's fantastic. This is New York City. It's full of irony.
Like, for years, your parents are like, don't talk to strange people. But then here we are smoking weed in the back of a van and... the busiest part of Manhattan, I think, besides Times Square.
The craziest thing to me about that, and this is because I go outside and I'll smoke. The cops don't even do or say anything. It's like they know. They don't really give a shit. They'll see weed and boys in the corner, and they'll just drive by them. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Well, weed is decriminalized. Is that correct?
It is. It is here in New York. It is decriminalized.
I thought it was.
You can get a fine.
You can get fined $50, but that's like the maximum fine, and they'll barely enforce that.
So for the price of one brunch,
you get one New York brunch.
One New York brunch.
You can smoke your one dime out on the fucking street. But so, do you guys think it's time
to smoke? Do you want to smoke right now?
Yeah, I would love to. Let's go.
Are you referring to legalize? Like, it's been time,
right?
Well. So what's the status? So it's Colorado, Washington.
Washington.
Is that it?
No.
California is like a gray state. It's like that's so ambiguous.
Pennsylvania is currently trying to get legislation in order.
Lesbians?
Lesbian legislation in order.
Ready.
Apparently they're trying to open up a couple dispensaries in Pennsylvania.
Oh, hey. My God, yes.
Yeah, that's currently in the works at the moment.
I mean, I'm so down for the dispensaries here. Oh, Freddy.
Do you... So, what are your thoughts on this? In terms of, like, maybe nationwide legality?
I think it's a fantastic idea because, I mean, it's kind of like a party bus.
Yeah.
People drink in a party bus, you know, and those... I don't know if they have them in New York. I haven't seen one yet, but Pittsburgh, they were really big. They were like party bicycles.
In Pittsburgh?
It's not like weed, but it was alcohol.
Alcohol.
It was huge bar on a bicycle, and everyone pedals, and everyone gets drunk on it. So there's already ways to get fucked up in transit. I think this is just another example.
Well, I agree, but I also think that, marijuana is it's a much safer substance to use. If we want to talk about addiction and drugs and alcohol, it's a much safer substance.
Yeah,
it's better. It's healthier for you. It's actually a medicine. And there's a new study that says that marijuana actually reduces alcohol use, and therefore legalizing it might actually help reduce alcohol use across the country. Which I find alcohol to be a lot more dangerous than people think and people actually give credit to.
I smoke because I have anxiety. I'm sure pretty much all of our listeners out there can relate to having some sort of anxiety. But
today's show is definitely brought to you by both weed and
wine.
Another good wine.
What are we drinking?
What are we drinking?
Yeah, what are we drinking, Anthony?
Mr. Ruffino. Ooh. Yes, and we also gave another go around to that to that menage a trois, because, you know, we couldn't get enough the first time.
Absolutely.
I actually kind of preferred the menage a trois. It's a robust red something, right? Is it Cabernet Sauvignon, or what is it?
It is a deep, robust, thick, dripping red.
I hope it's not thick.
Slimy, ugh.
It just comes out of brick. You actually eat pieces of it. How thick it is.
You just cut it into squares.
It's like cranberry sauce. You just, in the shape of the can, you just slice it.
It's a fruitcake of wine.
Now, back to this weed van, I do have a question, because I've only seen one of these things. I've never been in that experience. Do you tell them where you want to go, or do they have, like, they just drive in circles?
They just stay there. They stay parked.
Yeah, they don't go anywhere.
We didn't move, because I didn't really want to drive around with this person, so I was actually really happy they didn't move or anything, but we just closed it was literally pop in, sit down, and click. The door is just, like, shut, and there it goes.
And they have, like, did they have mood lighting? They had
LED strips down the side. You know, in a minivan, typically there's, like, a center seat that was gone.
Right.
It's, like, more of, like, a loungy. It kind of reminded me.
Was it all you can eat and smoke?
No, we had, okay, so our selection was the cheapest. It was the vape pen. So they,
I love how this has a menu. Like, I love this setup.
He literally pulled out this laminated menu, and there were edibles, suckers, candies, gummies, and then the basic introductory package, kind of, lack of a better term, was the vape pen. And then he had, like, a suitcase full of, like, marijuana that we could choose from and buy. So it was pretty interesting. So we just wanted to test it out, so we didn't do too much spending.
It's getting to that point in New York City where, or in the world, where you can have it brought to you and you can have a really great selection and a good, like Justin said, better way, lack of a better term, a good menu.
Of course.
Right.
It's crazy. I mean, we need to just fucking legalize it already. We need to break down the black market and bring in all that tax revenue and make that money and make everybody happy and just everyone mellow and chill. We need it.
Would you ever go do it with me if we found one?
Oh my, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Not live even, show it.
Yeah. Exactly. All we're on. Yeah.
I'm just all about live shows everywhere.
And I'm living for every fucking every aspect of it.
That would be a perfect live show.
We should get one of those 360-degree video cameras and just do, like a Facebook Live or some shit.
Yes.
Get the true experience of what it's like hanging out with these three fucking crazy people.
Yes. Live a little, bitch. We're going to make your life, honey.
So let's move on to our first segment here.
BDSM.
Oh.
And it sounds just like that.
It sounds more like. Oh
shit!
I thought
you're okay. I felt that over here.
So for our vanilla listeners, Jordan, what does BDSM stand for?
So BDSM is an acronym for bondage, dominance, submission, and masochism. Or sadism and masochism, S&M.
S-S-S-N.
So we already know what bondage is.
M-M-S.
Bondage is the act of restraint. We know what discipline is.
Mm-hmm.
We already know what dominance is. But what is sadomasochism?
So sadism and masochism, S&M, like the Rihanna song we all love, is... sadism is the pleasure... You receive pleasure from inflicting pain upon somebody. So dominatrix, for example, like with whipping and et cetera. Or that when we went to that sex shop, Justin, and that guy was electrocuting your nipples.
Yeah, on my birthday.
On your birthday. That would be a form of probably...
Torture
or sadism.
My stepsister, she runs a damn dungeon. She's she goes by the name Lady Lourdes. She's amazing, if you guys ever, you know, check her out. But... yeah, that shit's intense. I've seen some shit firsthand. It's actually kind of hot. I live a little. Well, we'll get into that.
And masochism is the form of receiving pleasure from receiving pain. And I think that can take all pretty much all forms and shapes and sizes. But I am typically scared out of my mind when it comes to BDSM. I don't think I would ever probably try it.
I'm so glad that you made me do it on my birthday, though.
You're going to look back on this experience for the next 200 years of your life, because you're going to live a long fucking time.
What is this, Death Becomes Her?
And you're gonna love it.
So for the listeners out there, this is what happened on my birthday. Jordan decided to take me to a couple gay bars in the village. Cool. Yeah, all about it. On the way there, he was like, I have to show you this, like, this kink sex toy store. They have, like, bondage gear and shit. Okay, cool. I'm open. I'll go into that.
And mind you, you just moved here too. So this is your first.
I was vanilla to the whole experience. You were
yes, very.
I walked in and they had your typical selection of dildos and don'ts. But then, as I was looking through this Toys R Us, Jordan was like, hey, the guy wants you to come over here and take a look at something. You don't have any jewelry on, do you? And I was like, no. So I walked over and the guy goes, okay, you don't have a pacemaker, right? And I'm like, okay, now I'm scared. Why do you need to know if I have a fucking pacemaker? He pulls out this box and it was a huge electrode. I mean, we're talking like Thomas Edison with his kite type shit. It was this huge electrode and it had two wall prongs on the other end. So he plugs into the wall and he turns it on. You can hear like this buzzing and I'm pretty damn sure the light's dimmed at this point. I'm like, oh God, this is like an electrode. He's going to fucking electrocute me here. He grabs it in his hand and then starts rubbing his other hand's fingers down my arm. And you could see the electricity arc out of his fingers and go into my skin. And it felt almost ticklish. And then he started doing it on my chin. And then he grabbed my arm and he said, now touch Jordan. And I touched Jordan and it was like...
Like shocked the fuck out of me.
It was
so painful.
It was crazy. Yeah. And it was like $100. Then this dude, I was looking at like these metal harnesses and really some type of medieval shit. Like I'm pretty sure they had this back in the dark ages.
Yeah.
But it was a metal collar.
Oh yeah.
And I was just looking at it and the guy goes, oh, here, put this around your neck. Apparently these things come in different sizes. Okay. My neck is not a twig. I have a pretty girthy neck, if I do say so myself.
Oh, girthy.
So before I could get the whole sentence of, it's not gonna fit, he slams this thing shut on my neck.
I remember that you bled so much from that.
Yeah, my neck skin got caught metal on metal. Not only did he shut it, he locked the fucking thing. Then to make matters worse, when I'm saying ow, apparently ow is not a good enough safe word when it comes to a bondage store in the middle of the village in New York's fucking city. He slaps a, like a dog rope or whatever the fuck it is, a leash on it, and starts dragging me around this fucking store. And I'm going, ow, 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 ow. I took it off. I had this huge purple mark and blood where my neck got caught. It looked like someone sucker punched me right in the fucking throat.
Oh,
so thank you for that, Jordan.
Oh, I'm you're very welcome. I'm so happy that you had a chance to experience that.
And I'm glad you got to see it.
But yeah, so I don't know if or what I really feel about S&M, to be honest with you. Bondage, I'd probably be into, but the idea of being like held and like in a constraining way and not being able to like free myself, the claustrophobia sets in. So I don't know. I'm like looking at my bed right now. I'm not sure if I would be able to be tied up here, but
I will do light bondage. I've done it before.
What does that entail? Like,
so the, what I did before is I had a pretty kinky dude who was like a really close friend. So we were like fuck buddies. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I was like, I've always wanted to tie a dude down to a chair, blindfold him and just blow the fuck out of him. And he's like, oh, that's really hot. Let's try it. So I had an old t-shirt. And I was like, well, I don't have rope. So I just ripped the t-shirt right then and there, made some makeshift hand ties and a blindfold. Blindfolded the fuck out of him, tied his hands down to the desk chair that I'm currently sitting in.
Oh my God, that thing is in through a lot.
I know. Why do you think it squeaks? And blew his shit to completion. And it was so hot because I was in control. No matter how much he wiggled or tried to move or squirm, it was like he couldn't get out of the situation. So it was so hot. And he loved it because he couldn't see anything. All he could do is hear and feel. So it heightened his senses. So, like, that's the type of light bondage shit. Not this, like, looking like a spider hanging from the rafters. Do you remember the sex party or the sex depot thing that we, or expo we went to in Pittsburgh?
Where they had at Cruise?
At Cruise, where they had the guy hanging literally like a human chandelier from the rafters, spinning in circles. That to me is extreme bondage.
This reminds me of when I went to Folsom Street East here in New York City. It's like the less wild version of the original Folsom Street, which is in the Castro in San Fran. But yeah, they had that shit everywhere. People were hanging in like these leather harnesses, like all over the place. People were being pissed on. They were being dragged around, puppy play. Like there were, you know, butt plugs shaped as dog tails.
So that to me would be extreme bondage.
Extreme bondage and also a little bit of domination, I think, which would probably move into the next part of the BDSM segment. But
Anthony, you've dabbled.
Yeah, girl, I know you have had some
I love history domination. I've had in my bedroom. I've been tied down to my bed, not just with handcuffs, but like taking rope and like putting it under the mattress, tying it to yourself from underneath from the back so that you can't move your arms at all. And like getting fucked that way. I don't know. It's just really hot.
You can't. Yeah, you're like totally.
You can't.
Deprived of like
anything.
See, that's hot. That's your.
And yeah. I also love like being choked a little. Well, a lot.
I'll choke you.
And like being thrown. Sometimes I do get. I do.
Mortal Kombat. Like Anthony's getting fucked, and you just hear a voice come out of nowhere say, "Finish him."
Please finish him. Please finish me. Please
finish in him. Yes.
No, I love all that stuff. I like being choked though. I really do. I think that's fun. I don't like being hit to the point where like you're punching me. I like some people like that. I like a slap here and there.
Like a playful slap.
Like a playful slap. Slap my ass. You could slap me in the face if we're getting really into it, but don't bruise me up.
Right. I get so frustrated when I am being bitten by a guy and I can't stand
light nibbling
bitten.
Is okay, but if it's like a scene from True Blood, you need to ease off the gas here.
It's really unattractive. I can't stand it.
And but, see, I think the tying down, Anthony, like you were saying, I could probably get off to that in porn, but I'm with Jordan. Like, I would be so nervous. Maybe this movie just fucked me up, but Bride of Chucky, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Where, like, she had some guy tied down, and it was like, he was so hot, and then Chucky came out of nowhere and just started stabbing the fuck out of him because he was tied down, he couldn't move. I just have visions of that. Like, I'm going to be tied down, someone's going to go into the other room, they're like, I'm going to get whipped cream, and they come back with a fucking machete, and I'm like, here we go.
See, you bring up a good thing there. Trust.
It's
all about the trust, because I know if I'm, like, seeing these grinder requests, hey, let me tie you up in my bed. That is a situation that I'm not going to come back from. So I agree. I just don't know if I can
now,
do the bondage.
If people out there that are listening to us want some tips when it comes to BDSM, what kind of tips could we give them?
I think that trust is the first thing. Make sure you know the person.
Yeah, make sure you know the person.
Completely comfortable with the situation, because you're going to get into some freaky shit. Okay, you're going to get into some situations that you may or may not agree with. It's all about experimentation, I think.
An open dialogue.
Exactly.
Open dialogue. Keep your safe words strong and right.
And in my opinion, you have to watch what equipment you're using. Because if you use rope from Home Depot, that you can hurt yourself really bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get these specialized ropes that are made for bondage for a reason. The rope situation is a little safer than handcuffs.
Right.
And also, too, you can simulate bondage. You don't actually have to have, like, a Boy Scout-style knot tying your shit down. You can wrap it around your hands and hold it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? You don't have to actually be completely incapacitated. You can hold it to where it feels and simulates like you are tied down, but you could let go and unravel if you really needed to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And to kind of piggyback off what you said earlier, safety words.
Yeah.
They are very, very, very important, because ow and ouch and screaming and no is
not
a good safety word, as Justin mentioned previously in the sex shop experience. Those aren't the good words to use because, you know,
they're natural reactions from us. And
people get off on that, mm-hmm. hence the sadism and masochism.
And speaking of piggybacking, let's piggyback off that and move on to our next topic, which is pig sex.
Piggy.
So.
Oinka.
Oinka. So, I want to hear from each and every one of you.
Well, let's define it. Because people are people were going into this segment going, oh my God, they're going to fuck a pig.
This is not the first episode of Black Mirror, bitches.
I was just going to say that. You're in my head. Get out of my head.
So is pig sex?
Tell me. I want each and every one of you to tell me your definition.
Pig sex is what Christian couples that are monogamous do not do. It is the spit on somebody, talk dirty, things that Jesus would probably shake his head at is what you would be doing. Pissing in or on somebody. Just really, I guess they call it pig sex because pigs like roll around and like nasty shit. Dirt. Like they just don't care. I think it's kind of like an uninhibited sex act.
We're seeing a lot of this emoji everywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, I know you aren't, Justin, because you have a wife. But me and Anthony, we're still on the apps, and this is what we see a lot. So that's kind of why we wanted to bring it up in the podcast today, is just kind of discuss like what it is, like what in our heads, like what do we think it is? What about you, Anthony? What do you
think about it? Pig sex, first off, I think pig sex ranges and varies, and sometimes it can be fun and sometimes it can be extreme.
Yeah.
Like, I count water sports as a part of pig sex. Like, you're pissing, that's kind of grungy, that's waste. Some people are into defecation. I am not so much me.
That scat girl.
That scat, you scat queen, you.
You scat queen. Oh, that's my new drag name, scat queen. Scat Monday queen. And Friday at Metro.
Yes, the scat queen comes to life.
Loy Ponty.
Yes. You know, there's also that, which I think is a lot. I count certain acts of group sex. Like, not so much a threesome, but more an orgy. Like, a dirty orgy where it's just messy and sloppy and nobody cares. That's, like, piggy to me, too.
You're making me, like, ooh. Mm.
Or, like...
He's
or
squishy
like,
down under.
Oh, or, like, yeah. A dirty, like, I just went... You know what I find, like... Feet fetishes, like I consider in pig sex, but this I kind of like sometimes, which is kind of weird because I hate it other times. But
yeah,
grungy, like he just worked out or he just played a sport and he's dirty.
And you want to sniff those jock straps?
Dirty. Yeah, give it to me. but that's pig sex.
And this is making a comeback because if you look at porn. It used to be hairy, it would be sweaty, it would be unedited. And then it seemed like, you know, 90s, early 2000s, like all that stuff, the porn was more
vanilla,
all shaved bodies, vanilla, boy next door. And now
even porn got censored.
It did. And now we're moving into, you know, a new age where the hair is coming back. The mm-hmm. beard is coming back. You know, Manscaped chest hair, pubes are a big thing. There's this sweat. There's this,
musk.
You know, it's no longer boy next door. Yes. It's dude at the gym next to me. Like, it's more of a masculine thing.
Or it's the construction worker that was in the sun all day and just, oh, my God. No, you're right.
What's your opinion on musk, by the way? Because I know Anthony just came for the fifth time since I hit record.
I love it. Like a family.
Oh, we got some delivery in the house tonight.
So, Anthony ordered nachos. That's our nacho bell.
How do I do this?
We'll be right back after this short break.
What?
Now that's what I call a nacho break.
Yes, I agree. Jordan, are you still alive?
Oh, I think he might have gone to the potty.
Is Jordan in the shitter?
Yes.
Hello?
Oh,
hello?
Oh, hello? I'm back. You back?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
What were we talking about?
Oh, so those nachos. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we had to have a little nacho sesh there. But it was good. We were talking about big sex.
Yes, I guess.
I think that was before the little nacho fiesta was pig sex.
Pig sex.
Yeah, so I never really discussed what my thoughts are on it. I think that... Girl, what are you doing over there?
Nothing. There was also a taco.
You got a taco?
He's sneaking a taco on the show. No. It was his taco, but he's eating a taco.
Mm. What did you...
surprise.
What taco was it?
It's a carne asada.
Carne what?
Mm-hmm. That's insane. Okay.
All right. Well, anyway. I think that basically pig sex to me is when two men or group is engaged in some sort of raunchy behavior that is typically sans condom. So pig
means no
equates
condom
to like bear brack raw.
Bear brack.
Bear brack.
Bear brack.
I'm bear bracken.
And pits and the musk and piss, maybe piss play, but
play piss.
Play piss. And now in your local grocery store. No. Yeah, I guess that would be it to me. I don't know.
I agree.
Because we see it all over, you know, leg grind and the scruff and all that stuff. And it's like, what do they mean when they have that emoji next to their name and a picture of their ass in the thong?
Right.
Like, what does that mean? So I think it's good to clarify.
So let's move on to our next segment. Ghosts of Christmas Past. What does this mean? This means people coming back into your life. How do you deal? Jordan, would you like to go first?
Why are you always throwing me under the bus?
Because this morning, my boyfriend and I woke up. It was like out of a cartoon. We stretched, we yawned, you heard some rooster cawing in the background, and I walked out to take a morning piss, and I heard fucking.
Oh, my.
You did not.
And I heard a ghost. Not Boom. Casper, but a Latino ghost. And I knew it was a ghost from Christmas past haunting your bussy.
Mm.
And you were just begging for an exorcism.
Mm.
Yes. So we all have that ghost from the past that kind of just pops up when you least expect it, whether that is a text message or an Instagram message or a Snapchat post. It's always that one person that just seems to keep coming around when you don't really want them to.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you least expect it.
Or when you least expect it. It's always when you least expect
always
it.
Always when you least expect it.
It's funny that you brought that up because, yes, I did have a ghost this morning on my fucking ass. But last night, actually, I had another encounter with someone that it's been over a year since we last saw each other. I mean, we've spoken via maybe WhatsApp or the occasional text. But so recently, I was out the night that we went that I was smoking in that van. I it's always that night in
always.
The van. I was in Zara, and that's when we spotted each other. I had this guy, he who shall not be named, last year. Justin knows him fondly, and he used to be in my life quite frequently. And he had a history of, I guess, violence, anger issues,
really
alcohol.
Bad anger.
I know, wasn't it bad?
It was scary. Like I was defensive. I almost jumped in a couple times thinking that it needed to get physical.
Thank you for that. That's why I love you.
Well, you know me. I'm always ready to snap my foot off in someone's ass.
But, he and I did, like, that slow motion pass by each other next to the, you know, the fucking
It
scarves.
Was the New York version of bumping into each other at the grocery store.
Exactly.
Bumping carts.
Bumping shoulders in the
weed van.
Sales rack. But anyway, we were there and it was so fucking slow-mo, but I stopped, I looked back and I was like, oh my God, it's you. We conversed a little bit. We caught up, but we were just catching up and about what's been going on because a lot's happened. It's been a year. We then decided to go on a, not a date, I guess you would say, but kind of like a catch up, which I think is perfectly normal. I don't know about you, Justin, but
I think it's totally normal when someone comes out of the woodwork to just go out, grab drinks, grab food, just casual setting. That's the most important thing. Because I look back at my personal experience, literally every single ex at this point has come back into my life or attempted to come back into my life, and I've been cordial and cool with each one of my exes. You know, some have came back to try to get back with me, others have come back just to be friends, and others have come back just to try to be a quick fuck. But I am totally cool with all of my exes. But I always laugh and tell people that are so heartbroken <too. laughs> when they break up, oh, I'll never see him again. I mean, Jordan, you did this. You remember when you were like, oh, you know, me and this dude, we aren't talking right now. This is like the end. That's it. We're done. And I was like, shut the fuck up. Give it a week. He'll be back in a week. They always come back. And it was like three
days
later.
They
always
do. They always do.
It's never a goodbye. It's always a see you later. Mm-hmm. That's what I always tell people.
Always. And it's normal. I mean, you build a connection with that person prior. So it's also normal for you to see like a spark or feel a spark with them.
And how's the distance that? Always makes people's like hearts grow fonder.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm sorry, I have to interrupt, but that, what is it, burrito or taco? That sounds good.
Oh,
you should save me a bite.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that shit's gone. But how? Yeah. Oh my God, I'm sorry.
Well, then next time. But so we had drinks at DBL, which I don't know if we've mentioned on this show or not.
Dive
but
Bar
it's
Lounge. Like,
in Hell's Kitchen, and it's probably one of my favorite places because it's so inexpensive. And
nope, it's expensive. Don't go there.
But I liked it. It was very casual. We caught up, had a few drinks. He told me about his life, and then he positioned sleeping with me again. So I don't know. Like, what
you accepted the proposition?
Of course, I accepted it, but I don't know if I really
with
agree
arms
with my
and
acceptance.
Legs wide open.
I don't know. What do you think I should do?
I mean, I feel like we've had this conversation so many times. Like, I wish you. I honestly
so
wish you could have seen my face. I was halfway to the bathroom and I heard his voice and I just looked up at the ceiling and went, oh God. Yeah. I would say, again, just approach it with like a friendship style thing. It's cool, in my opinion, if you guys want to fuck. I just would keep like the emotion, the feeling out of it.
So he actually wanted to
get back to God.
Should I say this? I don't know. Anyway, he kind of wanted to, because he wanted to do a certain drug with me as well, mm-hmm. which I don't really want to go back down that route.
Then don't do it.
Don't do that.
You know
that.
What I mean? He,
yeah.
Like, he like brought it up and I'm like, I'm like a trisexual, you know, as Sam off of Sex and the City says. She'll try anything once, and so will I. And that's with a lot of things, with drugs or sex, or whatnot. But it was—I don't know—I don't think I could head down that path again. Even though in that moment at DBL, it was pretty like hot and heavy. So.
Well, then I would say that you are better off this round than you were the first round because you have a smarter head on your shoulders. Round two, you have a lot more clarity than you did round two. And again, I'm still off to the side, ready to break a foot off in someone's ass.
Well, thank you.
I have two feet. Pick one. Pick you both.
What about you guys? Do you have any... what about you, Anthony? Do you have any ghosts in the past that kind of like creep their way back in during the holidays?
I mean, not this holiday, but yeah, most definitely. Actually, you know what? I'm not even like, yeah, this holiday. This time it was in the form of text, but not always actually is. Physically always. Physically coming in life. But yeah, it's just weird. Like, oh, still thinking about you, like this and that, like your family, like all. I'm like, okay, that's just awkward as fuck. But thanks.
It's cuffing season.
And I'm just like, I mean, it's weird, but if it's in person and something happens, I never feel bad about it. I obviously built a connection with you before, and I was with you before, so I like you, and we have something there. So it's likely that if we see each other and we are in a situation where we can, we're probably going to fuck. So I don't hold that against you or anybody or myself.
What advice do you think you would have, I guess, to any listener out there that has the same situation that we're in?
Like, I think to just piggyback off what Justin said, don't let your emotions get super involved.
It's impossible to do that.
Which sometimes it is. But you know, if you're already doing it, it's already happening. You know, it's true that if you know, once you know somebody's body, it's better. You can navigate better. It's tricky. It's sticky. It's a sticky situation. If you're good and smart enough to, well, not smart enough, but if you have enough willpower, because I don't think I do, to separate yourself from that emotional level, go ahead, be sexual. If not, just know that you can possibly be setting yourself up to fall into a vicious cycle.
Again, that you obviously left in the first place,
which is why you're not with
their ghost.
Yeah,
sometimes you just need to step back and realize some people will never change. So you have to pick up your bag.
Yep.
Grab your hat, your favorite pair of heels, and walk on out that door.
That's one thing that that's one thing that I gathered from this meeting, lack of a better term, I guess. It's now different. I still see it. I still pick up on it's been over a year, and I still see it.
And I had an ex who was a sex addict, and we dated almost 4 years ago. And when I was back in Pittsburgh in August, I stumbled across him and I was like, hey, what's up, man? How have you been? And we were just having casual conversation. And then he instantly jumped right over to sex. And it was the exact same traits, the exact same convos, the exact same everything that I experienced from him 4 years ago. So it's understanding, hey, some people don't change. That's who they are. And this is who you are. And you're just not meant to be. Oil and water, they're both fantastic things, but they're just not made to mix.
Oh, that was cute. I like that.
Put that on a Hallmark card.
I'm
cafe press. Cups. Coffee mug, oil and water. So we have a new segment.
Ooh.
This segment is called Classical Classifieds. So in this segment, the boys here jump on Craigslist, and we spend minutes searching Craigslist to find the raunchiest, craziest fucking ads that we can find. And let's be honest, this is New York. You're going to find them.
You're going to
yes, you are.
All about fast, that gush.
It was like the first one.
Yeah, Jordan's was the first one he found. And we read them as if we were audiobook narrators. With background music of the classical sort. So here it is, Classical Classifieds. In this segment, I read passages from the Man for Man section of Casual Encounters. This one is titled, Christmas. Hi, it's time for Mistletoe and Holly. I'm looking for a guy that will be my Christmas present every day. I'm 5'9". Latino and black. Sweet as a lollipop and more loving than a puppy. I can cook. Blow your toenails right off your toes with toe-curling orgasms. And I can cuddle better than a dog. If I sound like your guy, hit me up. All are welcome to apply.
This passage is titled, Dump a Load in My Raw Cumsuck's Hole and Leave. I need someone to dump a load in my raw, anon, cumsuck's hole tonight. You walk in, and he will have his sweet hole in the air. You unload in him, and leave his hole dripping. We don't care about looks. Just be white, Asian, or Hispanic. We have poppers on hand if you like them. Email me if you want to stop by. I'll be there to fuck his hole when you are done. If you want to watch, that's cool too.
This post is titled, Come in My Mouth, in Inwood, Washington Heights area. Hello guys, I'm looking to service a few straight men. Married men are welcome. I can be your personal on-call cocksucker. I am discreet and looking to suck your cock and your balls. You can come in my mouth and I will swallow. Please be DDF and reply with pics. I am Latin, 43, and have a nice butt. This is for all men.
I literally... That was really nice.
Cackled.
I was crying over here.
Too good.
So look forward to this weekly segment. We had so much fun doing this. Jordan, I think, recorded his, what, like 75 times?
Yeah, I think, pretty much 80. 200.
And you put a lot of good emphasis on some of those recordings when you said, come slut. I'm pretty sure the woman upstairs probably stared down at her floors like, oh my God, did I hear him say, come slut?
Gasp.
Goodness gracious.
So good. So good. So that was the segment, Classical Classifieds. So, at this point, Christian bakers.
Yeah, let's...
Cakes and faggots.
Cakes.
We need to talk about... So, I'm kind of ignorant, obviously. Can you... What's going on?
Let them eat cake. So, there's this cake company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Masterpiece Bakery, or Masterpiece Cake. And I guess they're pretty big in Colorado. And Jack Phillip, who is the owner of this cake place, refused to make a same-sex cake for a wedding. Okay. The whole thing actually didn't last very long, the whole interaction. But now the gay couple is suing, claiming discrimination. It's to the point where... Jack Phillips' name's not even on it. It's actually called Christian Baker versus Colorado. That's the case name. But it's hitting the Supreme Court. And I think that the big snafu here, the big piece is they're wanting to regulate, hey, you know, you can't discriminate against the people that you're going to work with. However, this worker that runs Masterpiece Cake Shop happens to be religious. Now, where does it come where I'm running it religiously now, but it's a business, so I can't really bring my personal stuff into it. So, I don't know, it just becomes this whole weird thing. What do you guys think?
This is similar to that marriage license situation, right?
This is Kim Davis of cakes.
Yeah, exactly. What's so different?
Here's the way I see it. So, there seems to be this push now that gay marriage is law of the land, now that homosexuality is more mainstream and out in the open, transgender people are out in the open and in, you know, Netflix movies and in popular television, and everything is becoming a lot more mainstream. Mm-hmm. If you look at how the United States was 10 years ago versus now, the amount of acceptance of gay people has skyrocketed. But mm-hmm. there's just this, I would say at this point, small-ish, probably 30, almost 40% of Americans that have this deep religious belief that they are better than everybody else. And they would argue, no, it's what Jesus said. No, you think you're better than everybody else. Mm-hmm. You don't live by your own biblical law, but here you are trying to impose it on everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, nothing blows my fucking mind more than listening to these Christian people say, well, gay sex isn't natural, gay people aren't natural. Okay, well then tell me what's natural about taking granulated fucking sugar, baking it at 350 degrees with some yeast and flour, and making some type of cake with fake icing on it, and two plastic dolls made in China holding hands. Nothing about that is natural.
At all.
And I don't recall there ever being a survey of, have you ever shaven your beard? Oh, you have? Oh, no cake. Is this a divorce? Is this your second marriage? Oh, no cake.
Sorry, no cake.
It just seems to be gays and lesbians. And here's the thing. Right. If you want to deny a gay person, whatever it is that you want to deny them for, that's your business. But that's not a business that should be a public business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's against the law.
I like that. That's true.
Yeah, exactly. It's against the law in America to not have handicap accessible entrances in anybody's building. It's actually against the law. It's against the law to deny a person of color entrance. I mean, clearly we went through the civil rights for that fucking reason. So what do you win from denying gay people besides the ability to hold your nose up in the air?
Yeah.
Just blows my mind.
Well, let's look at it from a different view. Like what? So you're asking like, what would this guy like have to lose from like refusing gay people service? Right.
What is he gaining?
What is he gaining?
Well, I don't make acceptance. Maybe it's a religious like store, or the shop is religious. People like he works with. I don't support this decision at all. So to listeners, I'm not pro anti-gay, but I'm just trying to look at it from like their perspective in a way.
If you're looking for popularity and money, and you're thinking about acceptance, this isn't something that you do. It's not even something that you worry about. I mean, look at fucking Starbucks. Here's their 800th cup. Their 800th cup controversy. But do they stop releasing their cup? Hell no. They'll release the cup with two hands. They'll put three hands holding each other in the damn cup. Release it and not give a damn. Like, it's about being all-inclusive. And
you're referring to Starbucks's cup where it has two...
Oh,
you know,
so the
hands
new,
holding.
Yeah, the new controversy. There's the new cup with these two hands holding, which is fine. A normal holiday cup. Okay, whatever. This time they're not even bothering with the red. At least they're not bothering with that. But there's a new Starbucks commercial. And there's a lesbian couple and they hold hands in the commercial. And so now the whole controversy is that the hands in the cup are these lesbian couple and they're... Starbucks is pushing this giant gay agenda. Yeah, newsflash, here's the gay agenda. Hey, gay people like coffee, so come and get it. Like, it's ridiculous.
I mean, it's not like there are two dicks rubbing up against each other on the fucking cup with mittens on.
I mean, I would love to see that, but...
Come through,
it's not,
Starbucks.
You're right, it's not. It's not two penises, it's two freaking hands.
And you can't even tell if they're guy or girl or both.
And how this is metastasizing into something that's not even... It's just fucking drawing of a hand.
And I'm sorry. Last year, these Christians boycotted Starbucks. I don't know how the fuck they knew about these hand-holding cups this year, because they should have boycotted this shit.
Exactly.
Boycotted this shit a year ago.
A year. There shouldn't even be a fucking story, because if they would have boycotted it, they would have boycotted it. They wouldn't have any fucking idea.
I'm so dead.
I'm sorry, but that just... pisses me off. I haven't seen either cup nor commercial because I live in a box, but
here's the slippery slope of this too. If religious belief is going to become this high a power that you can actually ban people from your establishment, what people need to realize is this can fuck Christians over. I mean, if you're Christian, you can be denied entry into these businesses because you are a Christian. Mm-hmm. They think for some reason it only works in their favor. Mm-hmm. When we have seen these Satanists that worship Satan, I'll never forget one city, they actually had like the Ten Commandments or something in front of this government building, and people wanted it taken down, but all the Christians were like, no, freedom of religion, yada, yada, yada. So the Satanists put up a statue of Satan right next to it, and all the Christians were like, no, this isn't fair, and the government was like, but it's religious freedom. So they don't realize that, okay, you can ban gay people, and you can enjoy making the lesbian couple cry when they walk out the door, the news is going to fucking spread. And if you go to McDonald's, they're going to shut their fucking doors on you.
Mm-hmm.
So you imagine think you're
that.
Winning.
That's a great call out you just made, because think about it. I'm going to ban you because you're Christian. You can't come in here. Imagine the uproar and the backlash and the media attention that would receive.
I love that I hate gay people, all this. Honey, we make all of your clothes. Everything that you're wearing, we made and designed.
It had some input.
Or had some, get fucking used to it.
Yeah.
Think about it. You are baking a cake and painting it pink with flowers on it, and you are a man. That is a gay profession. All right? You're basically making a dress of sugar and calories.
Yep.
Nothing about what you do is straight, sir. And they're like, oh, well, it's me participating in a wedding. Nobody wants your fucking ass there.
Yeah.
You're delivering the cake in the box. You're just shaking their hand and you're leaving. In fact, half the time you don't even leave your store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone else delivers it for you. Your fucking crew gets it.
But this is the last stand, if you think about it, because they lost when it came to keeping sodomy laws on the books. They lost when it came to gay marriage. Now, you'll notice they transitioned from gay marriage over into transgendered bathrooms. And they lost on that front, too. I mean, look what's going on in the news. Look at all these straight men that are coming out with sexual assault allegations after all these years. And I thought to myself today, you know what? These Republican male assholes wanted the American people to believe that transgendered women were the actual danger of cisgendered women in the women's restroom. No.
Nope.
It was her male boss at the office that was the actual fucking danger to her this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's all I've got to say about that.
That's all I've got to say.
Well, can we just also talk about how all these fuckers are losing their job, yet Trump's still president? Let's do something.
Listen, karma shows up.
It's at that door. It's gonna knock in any
new year, new president.
That's no. Damn right.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a caller who knows Jordan and has some questions on what she can do as a cisgendered female to help the cause. Here's her call.
Hi, my name is Shannon. I'm 29 years old. I'm friends with Jordan. Hi, Jordan. Love you, baby. I wanted to call in and support what you guys are doing. I love the podcast. After talking with Jordan, I was like immediately put it on my list and subscribed. But my question today is, as a straight cisgender female, I am an ally and continue to be an ally of the LGBTQ community. But I really, with all of the stuff that's going on and, you know, maybe not having exactly the expendable income that I want to donate to different causes like HRC, what are some actionable items that I can, or actionable things I can do, you know, peaceful protesting or just ways I can volunteer? I just really want to be a really good ally, but I also just don't want to say that I'm an ally and not do anything that's going to help community. So if you guys could help me come up with some actionable items or things, that would be amazing, because I could definitely spread it around to my other allies. And I think we could make this world a better place. Thanks. Love your podcast. Bye.
That was so sweet.
That was really cute.
That's cool. Yeah, that's cute.
So advice. What do you always think?
Well, I think what she's doing right now is a great start.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree. You're on a great start. I would say, you know, visit your local LGBT community center and, you know, see any way that you can help out, any help that they need or anything that they're working on at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I would say big things, easiest way to make change, does not have to cost a penny.
Mm-hmm.
Education is power.
Mm. You're so right.
I had a friend reach out to me not that long ago with this exact same question. She was frustrated. She saw all the shit that Republicans were saying or trying to pass as legislation. And she's like, I just need to get my hands dirty. How can I get in there and jump into this and make a change? And I said, it starts with educating yourself first. Watch Moonlight. Watch the movie about the AIDS epidemic in New York called And the Band Played On. Watch the movie Milk about Harvey Milk. Like, learn our history. It's hard for us to get to somewhere in the future if we can't learn from where we were at in our past. And the gay community is such this huge culture of just different people. You have black gay members. You have queer members. You have Asian trans members. You have so many subcategories of the LGBTQ community. And it's important that you know their struggles and their stories. You know, like, that's why I think Moonlight was such a groundbreaking movie. And I cried when it won an award because for the first time, the American people as a whole got to witness insight of gay men of color.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And so many of the movies that are about the gay community are always about white men.
Yeah.
And I was thrilled to see a double minority featured and have their story told. This is the type of education, seeing the gay community full circle. Human Rights Campaign is a fantastic campaign, but it starts at ground level. It starts at the root of the movement, and that is education. That is working with your local community. That is reaching out to these organizations that help LGBTQ at-risk youth. I mean, majority of gay children run away from home because they don't have a home to be accepted to.
Yep,
and These organizations are finding homes for them. That's the big thing. I think when people start to see the human aspect of the gay community and not the sexual aspect of it, people will start to realize how much this community needs help.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Shannon, thank you so much for your question. I do love you too. Your feedback is great. So, but yes, what he said, what Justin said, is the education piece. That's the most important here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we did the show.
Exactly. That's why we're here talking to all of you out there, is just to
educate,
help you better understand more about our community and how and where we come from and where we begin.
Exactly. Because the three of us sat down and we said, what type of show do we want this to be? And we wanted it to be an open show where we openly talked about sexuality and what's it like being a gay man and what's it like in the gay community. And we wanted to talk about so many things that so many Americans don't hear. I mean, we even talked about sex education and how the gay community is not featured in that. Even if you posted this podcast to your friends and said, hey, listen to this, listen to what they have to say, spread it to somebody you think needs a safe space to listen to or to interact with or to call into. Like, that's why we're here. We're here to help push that message.
And we're not just seen as just bunch of gays chatting to nothing. We're your friends as well. I mean, we understand these things. So to his point, tune in and listen to what we have to say, because we're always here to help, and we're seen more as just a voice. We're a friend to you.
We are Ask the Boys for a reason. We are here for you and your problems.
As always, we've got your back and your front, baby. Don't hesitate to call.
We answer your cues, so you can definitely play with your A's.
I'm playing right now.
Oh.
So, episode 9.
Episode 9.
Wow, the 9th episode. The 9th.
We're almost at double digits here.
The final frontier. There's no more single digits. This is it.
It's either uphill or downhill from here. We don't know where our peak is at.
Oh, I can tell you where my peak is.
I wonder, I can see great things for this.
It could be like an orgasm. We might just be faking it till we make it. Who knows? But we're getting your feedback. You know, we can see the countries that you guys are streaming us in. We can see the subscriptions. You know, we can see that you guys are definitely responding well to this. We're having as much fun making this as you guys are listening to it.
Wait, you're telling me you can actually eventually make it to the orgasm? I don't have to fake it all the time?
No,
no.
You can reach it, girl. It's there.
Oh,
you see it over there? It's waving. It's waving at you.
It's a little deeper.
It's waving.
Oh,
there.
Oh.
You. There you go. Yes.
Oh.
And there was the climax and ending of the show. So that about wraps it up for our 9th episode of Ask the Boys. Don't forget to subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting service, so you can download every new episode as we release it. Trust me, you'll want us stashed in your pants pocket everywhere you go. Also, go ahead, follow us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/AskTheBoysShow. And we now have a Twitter page and an Instagram page. Jordan, what's our Instagram?
Ask the Boys Podcast.
And Anthony, what's the Twitter page?
Ask the Boys.
There we go. Well, until next week, I'm Justin.
I'm Jordan.
And I'm Anthony.
Have a good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Night-night.